Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello and welcome along to this week's episode of Camogie Extra, your go-to source for all things Camogie, as we deliver the latest news and updates from the 2024 Championship. I'm Marie Crowe and I'm delighted to be joined by Orla Keeling of RTE Sport, as well as former Kilkenny manager Brian Dowling and Cork legend Gemma O'Connor. Well, we've had a great weekend of Camogie, another great weekend of Camogie with Dublin emerging victorious over Kilkenny and Galway beating Waterford. We do need to start with the Dublin victory because you called it, Orla.
Yeah, I was getting a few, I got a few messages maybe before the game wondering why I called Dublin. Yeah, delighted for them. I think I mentioned it last week. You know, I believe that if they performed and showed up on the day, they could have done it. Kind of knowing the leaders within that group, how driven they are, kind of their mentality and how competitive they are. If they got another shot at Kilkenny, they were going to give it their best shot and they did that. And I think the confidence that the group games against Galway and Wexford gave them was immense and was part of that. But I think they came into that game with no pressure, you know, it was a free shot and no one kind of expected them to get over the line, and they performed and they did it so well on the day, and I'm just delighted for them.
I think you nailed it there. They brought the performance, and Gemma, like, that's not an easy thing to do in Croke Park on the big day when you maybe don't have the history and the tradition. Where did that Dublin performance come from, do you think?
I think it's a huge win for Dublin County, the whole Camogie set up there. I went up to Ballinteer St John's about 2 years ago, and just the passion for the game up there for Camogie is huge. So you get that throughout the county, and for Dublin to push on and beat Kilkenny in a quarter final stage up in Croke Park is no easy feat. I've been there myself, played against Kilkenny. You know, they're a ferocious team. And whatever you might say about Kilkenny being in a transition team, you know, Dublin won it fair and square, to be fair. They had pace. They were aggressive in attack. They were aggressive in winning possession of the ball. And they just showed that they wanted it, basically. And some of those key players for Dublin were on form, and that was a major win for Dublin. Compared to Kilkenny, I suppose, who, you know, played a little lackluster, was over reliant on maybe freeze. And you could feel the loss from, you know, the likes of Denise Gall and Mary Walsh out injured, Claire Phelan not there. So, but to be fair to Dublin, this is it's a massive step in the right direction. And, you know, they have a lot of work to do between here and now, going into the semi final stage. They're up against it against Cork, who are an on-form team. And, you know, they'll have a lot of work to do, but the confidence will be up and there's no reason why they can't give it a shot.
Brian, what about the Kilkenny performance? A lot of people putting it down to them being in transition. You know that team so well. You know Camogie in the county so well. What do you put it down to?
It was a very disappointing performance. You know, as the lad said there, Dublin deserved their victory. Even Ashley Maher missed a penalty in the first half as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe that was going to come against him. But look, Kilkenny only scored 12 points. Be very disappointed with that score heading to Croke Park. Just look very kind of flat on the day, just things didn't happen for them. Look, they are down a lot of key players. Gemma mentioned a few of them there. To me, the biggest loss of them all is Claire Phelan. You know, she was nearly the first name on the team sheet for us every time. She was the conductor of defence, like Gemma was for that brilliant Cork team down through the years. You know, she started our attacks. She, you know, she was our leader at the back. A lot of teams would have given us a sweeper like Dublin did on Saturday. And, you know, we were all delighted with that because Claire would dominate. She'd be on the ball. She'd have 20, 25 possessions. She'd hit the ball in full forward line. I suppose Kilkenny didn't get enough ball into that full forward line when it thought it looked dangerous at the start. Look, they'd be disappointed when he scored 12 points. They're obviously Denise Gall, not a huge loss. We all know how good she is. And they had, you know, they had Marion Welsh back this year after a cruciate injury last year. And unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, she did a cruciate again, which was a massive blow to him. Because I think if Miriam was there on Saturday, you know, would have given him a focal point. Without Miriam, you know, we missed her hugely last year as well. But without Claire, Denise, Miriam, Michaela Keneally was gone as well. She went to Australia. And then, you know, Katie Nolan only came on the sub. Katie would have been one of the best forwards over the last number of years, not only in Kilkenny, but in the country. So if you're down them players, that's not making an excuse. You know, Dublin were the better team. They were really up for it there. You can see Ashley Maher there, you know, every time they won a free, they were jumping up and down. And as a managing team, we love seeing that. They were just so up for it. And, you know, they deserved their victory. Kenny would be disappointed. But, you know, as I said, there were down a lot of players and it was difficult for them this year.
I think just a word on Miriam, just the devastation, Brian, that she will have came back from that injury and to be almost struck down again. Like, how difficult is it going to be for her now to try and pick herself up again?
Oh, yeah, it's extremely difficult. Like, I'll never forget, we were training. We're only back from our team holiday last year and we're training in Carlow IT, just about to get going in the league game against Galway the following week. And Miriam was only back from her own honeymoon and she was looking really sharp, and where she was going to start the game for the first time, and she went down, she crumbled, and I knew straight away it was a cruciate. I'd seen so many of them, I was able to predict them at this stage what was happening. So looked at her cruciate, and I thought she was finished, to be honest with you. She said herself, but in fairness, she came back. It shows the character she is. She wants to come back and finish on a high. She picked up a couple of niggles this year, as you kind of do when you come back from injury. And when I heard the news there 2 weeks ago, I was absolutely devastated for her. I sent her a text last week there, and she was absolutely devastated when the news came through that her cruciate was gone again. It's a huge blow. Look, it's a big problem in women's sports. You know, we've had two or three there in every year with Camogie. You know, Galway have had a good few. Matchatumi said last year, Cork, I think, had four as well. You know, it's a huge problem, and it's just such a hard injury to come back from. And, you know, Miriam, I suppose, 2022, she was in the form of her life. She's in the peak of her career. You know, everything was going well for her, and just to have that taken back and to have to face all that road again now is very tough on her. But look, it's extremely disappointing, and you know, it was her loss, but Kenny's loss as well on Saturday, because she's just huge player for the team.
Yeah, I think this is something that we're probably going to end up talking about when we go through these four teams. It's just the amount of injuries, the amount of big players that are missing. It just feels like, you'll be able to set us straight on this, it feels like there's more now than there ever was. You obviously had such a long career. Have you ever recalled a time when there's been so many big players, not even big players, just players in general, out missing?
I don't know. It's kind of a tough one, really. I suppose the tempo and the professionalism in strength and conditioning has upped dramatically. The intensity in games and at training. I mean, you know, the bar has to be set higher and higher, so the demand on the player is a lot bigger. I was lucky enough not to, you know, get a big injury throughout my career. And, you know, it's something that I kind of looked at about looking after myself. But some people can be just, you know, unlucky. And whether it's down to training, whether it's down to, you know, maybe the makeup of the player, we don't know. But it does seem to be something that's happening throughout female sports across all spectrums. I suppose if you look at the Waterford game even, you know, the first 10 minutes of the game between, you know, Waterford and Galway, that was even stop-start with a lot of injury problems. You know, you had a lot of injuries coming into that game. You know, Vicky Falconer-McDast, last year missing through a crucial injury. And then I suppose you've, you know, I suppose the bone of contention at the moment with, you know, the ladies football and the Camogie juggling it all together. And you have some of those youth players that are out injured. So, you know, I suppose there's a lot to be taken into consideration between dual sports, other sports, and just a heavy load of training and games. But it's, you know, it's a hard one to pinpoint why it's happening, but it does happen. Maybe it's the physiology of female athletes, but it's something that, you know, I suppose the Camogie Association and Ladies Football Association are going to have to look into and dig deeper and maybe hire those professional people to kind of, you know, try and curb that and maintain that problem.
Orla, you're around sports women all the time. What do you think?
I would agree with you, Gemma. I think something needs to be done. And I think the associations, maybe with the integration process, you know, something can happen where there is kind of centralized S&C coaches or something that needs to be done, because even it's rampant in the men's game at the moment. Like the amount of ACLs we're seeing, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the condensed season, but I agree with you. I think the intensity, the demands that are put on players now has really increased. Even we're talking about physically, but mentally, you know, the demands that are put on players, they're trying to balance and juggle everything. You know, that's just a single call player, never mind the dual players. Yeah. And, you know, I was speaking to someone last week and I was just saying, is the dual player lost? Is the art of that lost? Because I certainly don't know mentally how they would manage that, never mind physically on the pitch. But Gemma, I totally agree. I think something needs to be done. I think even if you're looking at, I think the likes of Puma have come out with boots specifically designed for women. You know, hopefully that'll change something in terms of the structure of the boot and how, you know, physiologically we're different to men. And they do say our hips are kind of the reason why we have a lot of knee injuries. But 100% agree, something needs to be done. But definitely the increased intensity of the game is probably something to factor there.
Gemma, do you think realistically the dual player is something that's sustainable in the future?
You know, coming from a staunch dual player county, and I suppose, you know, you're talking about Rena Buckley and Breach Parker, you know, who were kind of, you know, at the height of all this back when I was playing. You know, the men's game hasn't done it in a long time, and it has phased out. And, you know, while I do think that the dual player needs to be looked after and in terms of matches and the clash of games between the two associations with ladies football and Camogie, me personally, I think it cannot be done. I think if you want to play at the highest level and give it your absolute all and be as professional as you can, I do think you have to pick one sport. But that's just my opinion. And that's easy for me to say, you know, that didn't play dual sports. You know, I played a little bit of ladies football. I remember Eamon Ryan asked me, you know, a couple of years ago, would I have any interest in coming on to the Cork ladies football team? And after, you know, I suppose a long kind of discussion, I said, look, I will, but Camogie is my first sport. I think I might have lasted about 2 weeks training. You know, the clashes were inevitable. And I just said, look, I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I think it was unfair for me to put myself in that position. And I know that's different if you're growing up playing ladies football and Camogie from day one and you want to play those two sports. But I think now, in all honesty, I do think that unfortunately the player is going to have to pick one sport if they want to truly be at the top of their game and look after their bodies.
Brian, could you imagine being a manager and trying to look after girls that are playing just as much Gaelic football as they are Camogie?
No, definitely not. Suppose we're lucky in Kilkenny that we don't have that issue. You know, there is a football team there, but there isn't an overlap. You have enough problems going on in the background now without having to deal with dual players. Well, look, as Gemma said, I think it's one or the other. I don't know how the likes of Hannah Looney does it or the Catalan. Fair play to them. It's unbelievable. Obviously, the associations don't help when the clashes keep happening as well. But look, it's hard to fit with the split season now. It's hard to fit everything in, and the dual star, you know, is dual player is probably on the way out. You know, I think Panalunia and these girls are far and few between now because there's just so much effort and time goes into Camogie or ladies football that I think you probably just have to pick one or the other. I don't think that's what's down to the injuries, because even if you look across at the ladies soccer game in England, like, you know, I think Arsenal had four cruciate injuries last year. You know, they're professionals. I'm sure they have the best medical advice, the best physiotherapist, the best S&Cs, and it's still happening at the top of their game. So I don't know, there seems to be an issue there, and it's something that definitely has to be looked at. I'm sure they're putting plenty of study into it at the moment, but they can't come up with the answers. So it is worrying, and it's, you know, like Kellyanne Dyle, look at Kenny, she's done it three times already. She's only 23 years of age, you know, so it's just something that's in the game, and hopefully it'll be something to be sorted out, because it's as I said already, it's such a hard injury to come back from.
Yeah, Brian, really.
Sorry, Maria, I was going to ask you, Brian, how have you found the kind of move to Kildare, and even from, you know, moving association to the GEA, what's the difference there?
Yeah, look, it's different, I suppose, working with women and men are different. But, you know, look, I found, obviously, I was with Kilkenny girls for 5 years and I loved every second of it. You know, girls are absolutely fantastic for me, and the management team I have were brilliant. And, you know, we had a great bond there and a great group. You know, last year obviously didn't finish the way we would have liked. You know, everyone's dream is to walk into the sunset with an All Ireland, but we didn't. We wanted to do back to back last year. But look, we were beaten by a very, very good Cork team, and, you know, they're a better team on the day. We've no questions, they're a better team last year for the whole championship. So look, I moved on and went to Kildare, and, you know, look, I loved it up there last year. You know, we won the Christy Ring. So look, great bunch of players. And again, the bond is good. It just takes a bit getting used to, I suppose, in a different county, getting to know the players, getting to know the different other opposition counties. Look, again, the associations, it's there isn't too much different, I suppose. It's more how the players looked after. You know, go back to the big thing for me that has to change in the ladies sport is the expenses for the girls. You know, we'd like Grace Welsh and Lauren Murphy, Michelle Teeney, Finaris, traveling from Dublin 3 nights a week and not getting looked after, you know, like that's just not acceptable. They're out of pocket, like, and that should not be the way it is. And I know it's going to change in a couple of years, but, you know, I think Grace has been doing it there for the last 10, 12 years, driving down from Dublin. She's a nurse in Dublin. You know, and our county board would have helped her out, but it isn't that they don't have the money. That's not their responsibility. And I think it's something that has to change. But look, it has got better. I've seen it getting better, you know, since time she pushed it on. I tried to push it on. Paul Murray, Matthew Toomey, you know, Paddy Murray, everyone's trying to push it on all the time, and it is getting better, but you know, it definitely has a long way to go.
Is it getting better?
I think it's baby miniature steps, and it's taking way too long. You know, playing with Cork there, we had, you know, the likes of Libby Coppinger coming up from way west Cork, down as far as Bantry, Cahill, coming up, you know, trying to get a bit of sleep in the car, up at ridiculous o'clock, you know, getting home at ridiculous hours. And, you know, in Cork there, you're still driving 2 hours before you're getting home. So, you know, the conditions aren't great and they do need to change. And, you know, we talk about injuries and player welfare. You know, some of the injuries could be down to tiredness, lack of sleep. And, you know, if you just look into the basics of recovery and strength and conditioning for players, it's all about sleep and it's all about recovery. So, you know, you'd have to beg the question, really, why are people getting injured? Maybe, you know, because the systems aren't still in place for those players. So they do need to change, and they're changing a little bit too slowly for me, to be honest.
I don't think anyone will argue with you over that one, Gemma, that's for sure. Let's go back to Dublin, though, and to Aisling Maher and just her performance. Orla, you probably know her from the Dublin scene, but just the character I thought that she showed at the weekend was so impressive. She's an all-star in the forward. She's playing in that defensive pocket, scoring 7 points, missing the penalty, but still bouncing back. And even in her post-match interview, the thing that she comes out with is the fact that she missed the penalty and wouldn't want to see it again. She was more focused on that than the fact that they'd win, which probably gives a little bit of an insight into the mentality that she has. But she gave it everything. She was the key player, the leader, and such a hugely important person for Dublin. Just what's she like, Orla, and how important is she to this Dublin team?
Yeah, I know her well from being on the other side of her Vincent's team. I actually spoke to Aisling after the game, asked her about the penalty as well. But yeah, for her character to be able to, she's that type of player that, you know, she won't want to look at that penalty again. She probably will look at it, knowing her. But yeah, look, for her to step up after that and to just play the way she did is immense, and just speaks to her mentality as a player. You've mentioned, you know, she's an all-star caliber player, but I think for her move into the back line for Dublin has worked really well. They were kind of playing a plus two at one point with Kerry Finnegan herself in the back line. But I think what Dublin are doing really well, and I thought herself and Aisling O'Neill worked well in the second half, was Ash Maher was nearly like a quarterback in that half back line. The delivery, the ball she was giving in, you know, she's there as the plus defender. She's there to stop the other team, but also she's there as their first part of attack and their first bit of their offense. And I think that's worked really, really well for Dublin. And even they're, you know, talking about other elements of their back line, they were attacking. For me, Claire Gannon has been fabulous this year. She came up the pitch and scored a point as well on Saturday in the first half. They're just an attacking back line. I think that's worked really well, but their work rate on over the weekend was just fabulous from 1 to 15. Grace O'Shea in the full forward line, I thought, was brilliant. But overall, Aisling, you know, some of the frees, I think the Sunday game or the Saturday game kind of highlighted that. The panel there were immense, and just, yeah, fabulous player.
Brian, were we talking about the intensity that they brought, and, you know, they were winning every ruck and tackle in those key moments. They've changed some players now. Their system is different. But when you move away from maybe the characteristics that they now have, what about their setup, Brian? What do you think of it? Because it is different.
Yeah, look, it definitely worked on Saturday, and it frustrated Kilkenny. I think that's where Kilkenny would have definitely lost out, with Denise Gall and Claire Fien would have been two strong long hitters. And I think they would have kind of maybe been able to get around that. But you know, it definitely worked on Saturday to frustrate Kilkenny. So Aisling Maher was fantastic there in that role. I think when Aisling O'Neill came on, I think that was crucial for Dublin winning that game. I've seen her playing 3 years ago. She's a young player. I think she's fantastic. I think I love the way she plays. She's very direct. She's a brilliant first touch, gets the ball and just runs at the goal every single time. She can score from anywhere. I'm not sure what injury she had, but it's crucial that she's there from the start against Cork. I'd say Aisling O'Neill, I think it's crucial that she starts for Dublin against Cork. Just on the system, look, it worked on Saturday, but I'd be very worried if they go out the same way against Cork. Cork, to me, are the best team on the ball in the country in Camogie. The way they work out that ball, they're unbelievable off the shoulder. If you give Cork an overlap, two or three players on that half-back line, they'll absolutely destroy you. You know, like anything we play at Cork, we always try to stop them at source, because if they get run on you, they're so hard to defend against. You know, of all the teams we come up against, they were the ones giving me the most headaches, and my management group. You'd be planning how to stop the likes of Hannah Looney, Ashling Thompson, all these players running at you off the shoulder, and they'll hurt you from deep there. So I think Dublin might have to come up with a different plan. I don't know, is that the way they set up against Cork in the group stages a couple of weeks ago? They obviously got a nice beating there, and they responded really, really well to come back and performed the way they did against Kilkenny. I seen it last year. We played Dublin in the Leinster final, and you know, we were very lucky to beat them. We beat them in the championship by 10 or 11, but that Leinster final, we were blessed to beat them. So I knew they were coming strong. And just on Ashling Maher, I think she's a fantastic player. And we were talking to her at the All-Stars there 2 years ago, and I was just really taken aback how driven she is. You know, she's really motivated. The one thing she said to me, I know you mentioned on podcast last week, is that the continuity of management just isn't there. You know, she's sick of, you know, manager 1 year, different manager next year. And, you know, I think it's important that this management group now, whatever happens in the semi-final, stays with this group next year, and there's something to build on, because if somebody else comes in next year, starting from scratch again. You know, I know Mickey McCullough, he's one of the main coaches there. I know him very well. He's an excellent, top-class coach. And, you know, they need to keep these guys with them now. And, you know, and then bring in a couple of new players, keep what they have, because a lot of counties are looking around at the moment and they're losing players every single year. It's just so hard to keep building on their squads from the previous year.
Orla, what's this going to mean for Dublin Camogie? I know it's we're not talking an All-Ireland final yet. Potentially it could be, they have a huge game against Cork to come, but just to have made that breakthrough again and to be in an All-Ireland semi-final, just given the numbers playing now and how successful the club scene is, what will this mean for the game within the county of Dublin?
Yeah, I think it's massive. Yeah, sorry, Brent. I think it's massive for Dublin Camogie. Like, this is their second semi-final since 1990. Their last one was with 2017 with David Herity. I mentioned the minors last week winning. They're starting to see a pathway there. But Brian, I totally agree with you. There needs to be continuity for this team to continue. Even this year, there's been a number of girls stepping away, whether it's travelling or different commitments or different reasons. I think Dublin need to make sure that they have a structure in place for this team, because they've proven now that they can perform. I think it's massive for them. You know, it was funny last week, I think after I gave my prediction, you know, Marie, you said, why not? And kind of remember that kind of, you know, I was in Croke Park, and, you know, I think Dublin kind of need to buy into that mentality of, why not us? Why can't we be here every year? You know, why can't we be competing in quarterfinals, semifinals every couple of years? Because the numbers are there, the talent is there. And it's certainly not the players' fault, and I don't blame them at all. But as Brian mentioned, the lack of continuity, I think, for them is key for moving forward. If we're going to build anything here in Dublin Camogie, even last week, Emma O'Byrne was talking to her. She was saying Vincent's and Jude's have had success, and, you know, that's bleeding through now into the county scene, and that's key for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of different clubs as well, which helps, I think, with the success coming through. Just while we're on the subject of what it means for the county, what does this loss mean for Kilkenny, Brian?
Yeah, sure, look, it's disappointing. I suppose last year we also lost in the quarterfinal against Cork. So look, two quarterfinals in a row now that we're after losing out. So it's extremely disappointing. I suppose, again, it's the same thing. The management group was supposed to decide whether they're going to stay or not. I don't know what the story is, because when I was there, it was every just a chat at the end of the year and see what happens the year after. So I'm sure the lads are the same. You know, I suppose there's a couple of players there now that have been there a long time. They might be considering their future as well. But it's important. There is a lot of new girls there this year. They have brought through a few, you know, the likes of Kira Karamurta is an excellent player. She's really good. Katie Burns, an excellent player coming through. So look, there is a good crop there, but it is, you know, I know the word transition has been used a lot, but like, there is a lot of new girls coming through. I suppose they have to move away now from the likes of Claire Phelan, Denise Gall, these type of players, and these other girls have to step up now. You know, I suppose for years there, it was Kilkenny, Cork, and Galway is the top three, but you can see that's changing now. I suppose the fear factor is gone. Likes of Waterford, Tip, Dublin, they don't fear Kilkenny anymore. And that's the truth now. So look, that's kind of the way it's gone. Even last year, we played about us in the league. They didn't, you know, that kind of fear is going out with, and, you know, it's like teams playing Limerick in the hurling. They just don't, you know, they're nearly bet before you go out in the field. You're nearly 5 points down, even to the AC Cork, how well they had to play to beat Limerick. And I think that's probably the way it is with Kilkenny. And look, there is players there, and Kilkenny will always be competitive, and they just need to, you know, I suppose, learn from this year, see what went wrong. I suppose the group they're in probably, to me, didn't help them. They didn't really have a settled team, because they were playing a lot of teams and the games were over after 15, 20 minutes. And I know you spoke about last week, I think there's a lot of lopsided groups there, a lot of lopsided games. You know, I think there needs to be maybe a rethink on the structures, and maybe a little bit more, less teams in senior level, and make it a bit more competitive, because nobody wants to go out into the field and there's 20 points and 25 points between games. I don't think that does anybody any good.
Gemma, how many levels are Dublin going to have to up it now when they go to face Cork?
I think what Brian said earlier kind of covered it pretty much. I think their aggressiveness and their intensity and to win possession and to stop that space from with those top tier teams, the likes of Kilkenny, Galway and Cork, they seem to have their game plan in check there. But I would be worried if they went out with the same type of attitude against Cork. You know, they're going to put that extra back in the, into the back line, and they're going to kind of reduce their attacking threat up front. And you've some of the best man markers in the game, you know, the likes of Pam Mackey. You know, she'll clean up the ball all day long. And, you know, if you're going to nullify your attacking threat up front, Cork are just going to gobble that up in the back line all day. So I think I'd like to see if Ashmar is starting in the back line, that I think she's can be a little bit too static. I think she's going to have to move a little bit more, as well as just being the ball player there. She's going to have to play that running game with Cork, because if you don't play that running game with Cork, I think they're just going to run it all day long. So they do need to change things a certain certainly. But, you know, I think they're going to have to try and match Cork backs and going into the semi-final. Or, you know, as I said, the backs with that space will just... they'll just eat it up all day long. So it'll be interesting to see what way a Dubliner are going to line out. And I do understand trying to reduce that Cork threat of those pacey forwards up front. But, you know, I think if you're not going to be scoring in games, you're going to be at a loss straight away. So I think Dublin need to concentrate on that for the semi-final.
I think one of the positives from that Dublin performance, it was down near pitch side near the end. And when it got quite close, it was 1 point in it, you know, at a certain point in the game. And they ended up winning, you know, they extended that margin and they didn't give in. And that was, you know, I was talking to someone this morning and that was their comment of the game. Dublin didn't give in. And that was that kind of mentality and that belief in the team. I actually didn't know either. Sinead Wild actually has a broken hand. So playing on the broken hand, still scored a phenomenal goal. But as Gemma, I agree. I think like for this team, if they had any belief the last day, they need 10 times that belief going into this Cork game. And even I was speaking to Declan Darcy before, like the week before the All-Ireland final in 2019, you know, what they did, they didn't train on the pitch. They went to Lambay Island and did a team connection workshop. And that mental side of thing, the belief. And I think for the next couple of weeks, like Gemma and Brian, I don't know, I'm going to ask you, how do you go out and try, you know, because it's a monstrous task. How do you try face it? But for me, it's the belief and the mental side that I think they need as much work in. But I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, like any time I played Dublin down through the years, and you know, some of the Dublin outfits mightn't have been the best, but the one thing that we always got from Dublin was a good, hard, physical, fast game. And that's something Dublin Camogie has always. I think it's just about tweaking the actual hurling itself. And I think, you know, Dublin certainly have done that. You know, they've improved dramatically. I know they have a ball player, super ball player, and Ashley Maher, you know, Ashley Moneed, you know, as Brian said earlier, you know, she needs to start. There needs to be a focus in there and in that forward line, that when you're just getting ball, they're not hitting it in for the sake. You need to have that attacking player. You need to have to hit it onto the space for a player to run onto. So you need to have options. So, you know, Dublin aren't just the, you know, the aggressive, hard-working team anymore. They do certainly have another chink in their armour, but they're going to have to find that extra bit against Cork. And Dublin just be hoping that, you know, that they'll harass and annoy them so much that they'll force errors, force fumbles, turnovers, voids, you know, and that can be done. You know, you can do that with good teams. You can annoy them, harass them, and then, you know, concentrate on taking your own scores. But, yeah, you know, I certainly wouldn't be writing off Dublin. I just think they need to bring the intensity and they just need to up it a little bit more if they can to match Cork's power.
Ryan, do you have any thoughts on the week's ahead?
Yeah, like, I suppose, like, you know, if Ashton Maher is going to be the plus one for Dublin, Laura Tracy is going to be the plus one for Cork. You know, I don't think there's a better plus one in Camogie than Laura Tracy. If she's on the ball, she makes things happen. You know, you need to try and nullify her impact on the game. And if you're giving her a free role, you're playing into Cork's hands, in my opinion. You have to push her up and make her defend. Big thing for Dublin, I suppose, at the start of the game is that they're in the game after 15-20 minutes. You know, if you're after a team's after beating you 4 or 5 weeks previously by 20 plus points, you know, the one thing you don't want is to be hit early with a sucker punch of a couple of goals. You know, your confidence is gone. But if Dublin are in that game at 15, 20 minutes gone and get to halftime 2 or 3 points in it, then I'll give them a great chance. But, you know, I'd be very worried at the start if Cork run at them and get a couple of scores and Dublin are defensive and then Dublin have to come out and attack, you know, and then that opens up holes in the you know, for the Cork forwards, the likes of Amy O'Connor, Karina Mackey, and again, like, it's, you give them space, they'll hurt you. So I can understand why Dublin would play a plus one. I think probably have to. But at the same time, you are going to leave Laura Tracy up the other end. And look, they're just going to have to take every single chance. You know, Aisling Maher is going to have to be 100% on every free she takes. You know, you mentioned there about Dublin the last day, the way to finish. Like, Dublin scored the last 4 points on Saturday. You know, that was massive for them. It will take huge confidence, you know, beating Kilkenny. You know, Kilkenny are considered, obviously, is one of the top teams in Camogie. So beating Kilkenny, I'm sure they're training there tonight. They're absolutely bouncing going into training. They've nothing to lose now. It's bonus territory. I know the Dublin management are not going to be saying that, but, you know, if they can put up a brilliant performance, I personally can't see them beating Cork. I don't think anyone's going to beat Cork this year. I think they're head and shoulders above everybody. I just think they have players in every single position that can hurt you. You know, the likes of Aisling Thompson back fully fit this year now as well. You know, Aisling Thompson isn't going to be happy winning an All-Ireland last year coming on to sub for 10 minutes when they're winning by 20 points. That's not what she wants. She's going to drive it forward from there. You know, I can see some of these players, they want to push on. They had a lot of hurt over the last number of years. Another one last year, but I just think they're going to be too strong for Dublin. But I just hope Dublin really put it up to them for themselves that they can finish on a high. And I think if they do that, it'll be a fantastic year for Dublin Camogie. As I said already, if the management team stays in place, players will stay there to bring a few through, I think it'll be great for Dublin Camogie.
Yeah, hopefully, because it would be great, I think, for the game to have a really strong Dublin for the next number of years. The other game saw Galway beat Waterford. And Gemma, I can't for the life of me figure out this Galway team. They've just been so inconsistent. Do you think it's a case now where they're going to be hitting form at the right time heading into a semi-final?
Yeah, it's very unusual, you know, performance from Galway so far. They've been extremely inconsistent. And you know, the expectation, just like Kilkenny, just like Cork, the expectation for Galway Camogie is huge, and they're expected to win all these group games. You know, it's a strange old championship for them. You know, drawing against Wexford, narrowly beating Dublin, and they're looking. You know, I think Aoife O'Donoghue mentioned it after, you know, in the commentary after the game. You know, that she, you know, that they've had quite negative comments coming in, you know, into the championship, and she said, look, rightly so. I think it's just, as I said, the expectation is huge, and I think they'll be disappointed with how they've performed. In terms of Colin Murray, I think maybe the changes throughout the championship, you know, changing players in and out. I think there was 5 changes to the Cork team and to the starting team. And, you know, that creates a little bit of inconsistency, and it kind of decreases the confidence with players. I found down through the years playing that, you know, if the teams were you know, not consistent in the way they were lining out, that it stopped the rhythm and the flow of players and being comfortable around each other, knowing who's in front of you, knowing who's left and right. And I do think that has an upset going forward. The only thing is that, you know, Galway are still a dominant team, and Aoife O'Donoghue made a massive impact, you know, against Waterford, and she certainly looks hungry. So coming into the semi-final, you know, you'll have Aoife O'Donoghue playing. For me, the player of the championship for Galway is Dervla Higgins in the cornerback. She's a ferocious cornerback. She's athletic. She's a ball player. She scored a super point in around the middle of the field for Galway against Waterford at the weekend. And if you get all those players going, I know Niamh Kilkenny is a little bit quiet at the moment. And, you know, I suppose it's hard coming back after having a baby last year. And to be fair to her, you know, starting in around the middle of the field. But you need those players, unfortunately, to be dominant for Galway's to be dominant. So, you know, the likes of Niamh Kilkenny, Ailish O'Reilly is a little bit off as well, a little bit quiet. You know, she's plugging away in her scores, but you just need her to have a massive impact in the game alongside Aoife O'Donoghue. And then you've the back line of Roisin Black, you've got the Hanafy sisters, you know, Anya Kane. For me, I think the most consistent part about Galway's play is their back line. And I think from the middle third onwards, it's a little bit stop-starty. Obviously, the big one is Niamh Madden. you know, is, you know, the introduction of Niamh Madanan to the Galway team, and scored 2 points against Waterford. Interestingly enough, though, you know, I suppose her impact was slowed down a bit, and, you know, Leisha Forrest certainly kind of won those one-to-one tussles, and I suppose Niamh Madden didn't really look like she enjoyed the one-to-one tussles so much. And to be fair to Waterford, they kind of kept Niamh Madden's impact or influence on the game down. So, you know, look, you need the likes of Niamh Madden to be putting balls over the bar, you know, 2-3 points. Adish O'Reilly, Niamh McPeak for me was, you know, played a great game. She seems to be gathering a lot of ball and around that middle third to give that supply in. And then, of course, Carrie Dolan, who's the sharpshooter on freeze. So, you know, Galway, it's been an interesting championship for them. I wouldn't say it was their best performance against Waterford, but for them, you'd be hoping that, you know, they can make it, you know, a little bit more interesting, improve it now for the weeks going forward, and try to get back to their old Galway winning ways.
Brian, you've had so many tussles with them during your time. Are you surprised to see them not firing on all cylinders at this stage of the championship?
Yeah, look, I suppose you look at their team, as Gemma said there, you know, I think they're down a lot of players. Again, like Kilkenny over the last number of years, you know, like Emma Hilbert, Siobhan Gardner, you know, Shauna Healy, Sarah Dervin, you know, they'd be massive leaders for that Galway team, and they're all gone. Even Siobhan McGrath, you know, stepped away from the panel, I think, just after the league final. Like, Siobhan McGrath is a top-class player. You know, anytime we played Galway, she was the first player we always tried to shut down, you know, because she nearly gets a goal every single game. She's a massive loss. Orla McGrath was one of the top players in Camogie before a cruciate injury. You know, she's not even starting at the moment. You know, Niamh Madden was on fire, as Gemma said at the start. You know, I thought Waterford got the grips with her. She could maybe got a couple of frees. I don't know, Galway kind of, they remind me a lot of us last year. We're kind of just stop starting, not clicking into gear. I think the draw is a brilliant draw for them against Tip. I think it gives them an opportunity to get to an All-Ireland final. It's a 50-50 game for me. They won't fear Tip. Tip won't fear Galway either. I think it'll be a cracking game. And I think if they can beat Tipperary, I think that'll give them huge momentum going into an All-Ireland final. But they have a lot of work to do to get there. Looking at the, you know, the stats after the game, they conceded 20 frees, which is huge. Now, I do think some of them were very, very harsh. And I think, you know, I think the game on Saturday was reffed a lot better, in my opinion. I thought it was let go a lot more. I thought Sunday was stop-start, you know, a lot of stop-starting, a lot of injuries, a lot of frees and stuff like that. Look, Galway just haven't clicked into gear. You know, you said there, they drew with Wexford. They barely scraped past Dublin by 2 points. Cork, like, you know, when have Galway ever got beaten 2-15 to 1-7 in any game? That never happened. You know, Kenny Cork Galway is always only a point or two in it. And to get that much of a beating, you know, is worrying. But in fairness, there was a lot of pressure on Galway and Cottle Murray on Sunday. And I think if you had told Cottle Murray that they'd win by 3 points coming out of Croke Park, he'd taken their hand off. And I think, look, they're in a semi-final now. He's going to use this. People are writing us off. No one's giving us a chance. And look, if you can get some of these players back into form, like Siobhan McGrath, Ailish O'Reilly, Niamh Hanafy, Niamh Kilkenny's back, you know, fair play to her after having a child coming back. You know, she's an unbelievable servant at Galway Camogie. Aoife Donoghue really stood up, was a massive player for him the last 20 minutes when they needed her. You only scored 1-8 from play. They're going to have to improve on that against Tipperary. But look, they're in an All-Ireland semi-final without playing well. So they're in a good place, but they have a lot of improvement to do if they want to get to an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Brian. I think even for like the likes of Aoife, you know, she's been battling injury. She was kind of targeting this game. I spoke to her after the game. But I think that 1 week turnaround from the Cork game really helped them. I was speaking to Cathal Murray as well and Anya Keane. Like, they didn't have time to think about it. They just had to move on because there was no time to review it. And they just had to get on with it and come into Croke Park and go up against a Waterford team who I had backed on the day. I put my hand up, told them all I had gone against them, and they proved me wrong. But yeah, look, they've a point to prove now. They've 3 weeks to prepare for Tipperary. Why not? You know, they'd be going to get back from that league final. But yeah, they really proved me wrong on the day. I was delighted for them. They performed really well. As you say, I thought the three in the back line were, you know, was up kind of in the box with Anna and Ursula. They were worrying about that Waterford back line. And fairness, you know, they contained Niamh Madden to 2 points. You know, what a player, what an addition to Galway this year.
Gemma, could Waterford have done anything differently, do you think?
I suppose in terms of their setup, they played a little bit like Dublin in their setup, but I just think what Dublin had was they had that tenacity and that ferociousness to smother all space and smother the player and win that possession. And Watford didn't really have that. They put that extra player into the back line, but you know, again, they didn't really have the option up front. Niamh Rockett for me was probably the most, you know, she came up trumps it in the latter stages of the game, and I was hoping that, you know, Niamh Rockett would do it more consistently over the duration of the game. You know, in the first half, it was a little bit inconsistent. She gave away some possession up front. Kind of, you know, silly lost possession, trying to flick players that, you know, that's not going to work at senior level. And then just like that, on the turn of a hat, she scored 3 points on the bounce and, you know, was awarded that penalty. So, you know, she's massive talent, and it's just a pity that, I suppose, that, you know, especially in the first half, she didn't have that influence that she had more so in the second half. But for Waterford, yeah, they only had, like, you know, 4 players scoring, and that was including their, you know, that great free that Brianna O'Regan scored. You know, I would be getting her up all day, every day, to be taking frees, to be putting those over the bars. You know, it's not an easy feat to be hitting place balls 70 yards out. And, you know, you had 4 players in that team, including the keeper that was scoring. And, you know, that's just not, that's kind of a poor result, really. And Beck Carton, you know, one of the most, you know, talented players of the game, and I felt like she just probably had a little bit too much to do. You know, her penalty was taken superbly. You know, it's a real testament to Beth, because if you look at probably the stats down through the years at the conversion rate for penalties in Camogie, it's really low, and she took that penalty superbly. You know, you'd see it in the way she placed it, like, you know, like any hurler. So, you know, but I just felt she had a little bit too much to do. So, you know, I suppose Waterford really just were kind of outclassed a bit by Galway. And again, I mentioned it earlier, I think there's a lot of stops starting. They had a lot of injuries. The 3 players that were playing ladies football beforehand and the day before, you had Mairead O'Brien, who was out injured, who was their top scorer up front. And, you know, I suppose those injuries are going to, you know, they probably had a say on the final result. It was a little bit too much for Waterford, and they didn't have probably the depth that Galway have in the big city for Dunne, who's starting, you know, and the depth that they have in Alden Rabbit coming on for Galway and scoring a superb point in the last few minutes of the game. So, you know, I just think that Waterford looked a little bit tired, and I think their injuries proved too much for them.
Yeah, I think the word depth there is huge. And we'd spoken last week on the podcast, Brian, about how Waterford seemed to be spreading around their scores, but unfortunately on the weekend they just weren't able to get players on the scoreboard, with Beth Carton 1-4, and it was again Niamh Rockett as well that had to step up. And I'd imagine if you want to go winning the big games, you need to have a few more people hitting the target.
Yeah, definitely. You only scored 1-9. You're not going to win an All-Ireland semi-final scoring 1-9. Like Gemma said, they had 4 different scorers, you know, only 5 points in play. It's not good enough for an All-Ireland semi-final. Like, the difference was the shooting efficiency. Galway had 54% and Waterford had 43%. You know, Waterford did get in the shooting positions, but, you know, they left a lot of scores behind them. A crucial time there in the first half, I thought they were on top and they just couldn't score. But, like, you know, Gemma mentioned Beck Carton there. Like, she's absolutely top class. If there's a transfer market, she's the first player I try and buy when as manager of Camogie. I think she's absolutely brilliant. But I think Waterford system don't play into her hands. If you play a defensive system, it just gives the opposition a chance. Right, there you go, tag Beck Carton everywhere she goes, and you still have an extra player at the back. Like, if I was over Waterford, I'd love to put Beck Carton at number 11 and go 6-on-6 and let the centre back, you know, take the centre back out of comfort zone. Look, Waterford are a very good team, but I think if they want to take the next step, they're going to have to change their system. They have to go a bit more attacking. You know, it's grand to be competing with these teams, but if they want to beat like the Galways and Corks, they're going to have to go at them. They have the players, you know, to do it. They have to trust their backs and go at it. And if it means losing a match by 7 or 8 points, they're going to have to go for it, because, you know, to score 1-9 in the semi-final isn't enough. And, you know, did they have enough belief that they were going to beat Galway? Galway were there for the taking, definitely were. You know, and if they had to get a little bit more out of them, I suppose the injuries to Beck Carton and Lorraine Braid, I think the 2 of them, I'd say, were absolutely in bits the next morning when they woke up. But in fairness, the 2 of them, they were not coming off the field. No, Lorraine, I think, had to nearly carried off at the end. She was down about 3 or 4 times. She's a fantastic player as well. She'd cover every blade of grass for you. So I think Waterford just maybe can find a forward or two and just have a go at teams, you know, and try and release Beck Carton a bit more. Like, I think Gemma said it there, she's trying probably to do too much. She's on the half-back line winning balls. she's winning balls, hitting them in where she needs to be in there herself. So look, Waterford, that, you know, they're not too far away. If you can just find a couple of players, tweak your system a bit, and just have a little more belief to go at teams, I think they'll be in a right chance next year again.
Gemma, it's the business time of the year, you know, All-Ireland semi-finals. You've 9 medals. What does it actually take? And the nuances, what does it take to win an All-Ireland?
It takes a lot of, I suppose, heartache and a lot of ups and downs. Look, it's coming into the semi-final stage is huge. You know, it's the knockout. It's the, you know, the shortcut grass, the white ball. You know, hopefully the sun is shining and you're bouncing that training, and you know you're coming off a good win from the group stages or the quarterfinals. And it's a real just preparation phase now going forward. You know, you'll be trying to think, you'll have a few, you know, maybe the first week, the first day of training will be, you know, just getting back together, discussing the games, and then up the intensity for the probably first week and a half, and then kind of, you know, drawing it back a little bit. But, you know, these teams going forward will give Galway an opportunity to kind of put the wrong right, I think. And I think they'll be out to make a statement going into the semi-final, and maybe to prove the naysayers wrong, you know, that, you know, they're not dead and beaten, and that, you know, they're still Galway to Camogie and they can't be written off. And then the excitement, you know, the exciting thing for me really is Dublin. You know, can Dublin put it up to Cork? It's a huge task, but as you said earlier, Orla, like, why not them? You know, why not Dublin? You know, they've done it in the past in the history books, you know, and it's about time that Galway or that Dublin start to get back up there now, you know. So it's going to be a huge task for Dublin, but, you know, I think they can certainly give it a go, and I think they should try, you know, and disrupt Cork as much as they can. But I do still think they need to focus on their attacking element, and if they can get that a little bit right, then who knows what might happen. But coming up to semi-final stages is a very exciting time, and it's very enjoyable. It's you're feeling, you should be feeling fresh, you should be feeling right, and the appetite should be huge for it.
Brian, do you have any thoughts on what's the take? You've won 2 of them.
Yeah, look, it's all just about winning. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, everyone wants a perfect performance, but I think when that final whistle goes in the semi-final, you just want to be in the final. For me, it's all about peaking at the final. Obviously, you can't just try and turn up for a semi-final and not play well and win. But look, just getting that victory is everything. And the harder the game, you know, the better it is going into a final. For me, I always preferred if we got to a quarter-final. It was never our aim. We always want to top the group, but you know, silently in the background, I was always happy we're in the quarterfinal. I just think games are mean everything to you, and I think the gaps don't sometimes do you good. Like, you'll see it now in the semi-final. I bet you know, Tip and Cork might have slow starts because they haven't played in a couple of weeks, and you're used to playing week on, week off, you know, a week on and another game the following week, and now all of a sudden you have a 4 or 5 week gap. So I just think getting a game, like Dublin are going to be bouncing, as I said, this week in training, and Galway, I think they'll come on from that game massively. I think they'll improve hugely for that. And I just think, you know, look, you have to, it's good that the draw was done straight away, so you know exactly who you're focusing on. I'm sure you look at the opposition for the first week, and then you'll focus on yourselves then for the following 2 weeks and get yourself right. So look, it's a great place to be, as Gemma said. You want to be at the business end of it, and you're 60 minutes away from an All-Ireland final, and that final whistle goes, if you're in it, it's that's where you want to be. And, you know, whatever way you get there, that's just what it means. And, you know, once you're there, then you have a chance.
Absolutely. Exciting few weeks ahead for everyone involved and for us as well, as we build up to the semi-finals and then the final as well. So thank you to Brian and to Gemma and to Orla, as always. And thanks, everybody, for watching. Do stay informed and excited as we follow the road to victory in this year's All-Ireland Camogie Championships. And you could check us out on the RTÉ YouTube channels or wherever you get your podcasts.